May I speak in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is Trinity Sunday. It's a date in the church calendar traditionally observed in the Church of England by incumbents getting their curates to preach. Also, I believe, by the tradition of curates making that same joke at the start of the sermon each year, I'm assured. It's a topic that is practically impossible to preach on without veering into some form of heresy. An unnamed professor at a theological college once apparently said that if someone has explained the Trinity to you in a way that makes sense, they've almost certainly committed some form of heresy. There's any number of things that we can get wrong when we talk about the Trinity. The understanding of the Trinity formed an important dynamic in the early church. A lot of the church councils, the Christians coming together from across the known world to work out what it is that we believed, were dominated by the questions that arose from this issue of doctrine. The first big schism between the Eastern Church and the Western Church has its roots within the so-called Filioque Creed, which at the very heart of it is a Trinitarian issue. It's one of those questions that we use to work out whether other churches are Christian or not. We recognize each other's baptisms as long as people have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's a key issue. So, of course, I am delighted that I get to preach on it this morning. And it's a double worry for me, too, because this is the last Sunday before I get priested. And until the bishop's actually put his hands on me and done all of those things, it could all go belly up at any stage. So I'm going to ask you a favor as I start this morning. I'm going to ask you to be generous and forgiving. I'm going to ask you to be patient and full of grace as I try and work through this topic. I'm going to ask you to avoid shaking your heads as I skirt heresies. And I'm particularly going to ask you not to form any breakaway churches in case I accidentally invoke schism. I'm going to ask you to be graceful this morning. Would you be good enough to do that for me? That's a relief, because otherwise we're in trouble. This isn't actually my first attempt at preaching a sermon on Trinity. In my previous life as a youth worker, I once had to do an all-age service on the Trinity. So 7, 8, 9-year-olds, trying to explain to them the Trinity, that's a challenge. So what I did was I took lots of different analogies. I mean, you might have heard some of these, and I used them to try and explain things. One of the ones I used was the famous one of water. You might have come across this. Water can be in three forms. It could be steam, it could be liquid, or it could be solid as ice. And so that can be something that people use to help explain the Trinity. Of course, the flaw with that illustration is that water cannot simultaneously be all three of those things. Whereas God is Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all at the same time. Just as a little side note, for any science geeks out there, there is something called the triple point of water, at which it could be liquid, gas, or solid at the same time. I had to put this in because someone pointed this out to me this week. However, it ruins my point, so forget about it. Another analogy I used when I was doing this all-age talk was the shamrock. St. Patrick used this to explain Christianity to the people of Ireland. Got him a sainthood, don't you know? A three-leaf clover. He used the three leaves to explain the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and yet it's all one. But that isn't a perfect illustration either, because one leaf on its own is no longer a shamrock, whereas the Father is fully God. The Son is fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And this is where we find ourselves in these deep theological waters, treading water desperately, trying to keep our head above those waves, because that's the line we're trying to tread. There is one God, but there are three persons. We can't simply divide them by function either. They can't be separated, and they can't simply be lumped together into one mess. So there's a couple of mistakes. We can separate God too much. We can think about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as entirely separate entities, and that is wrong. That's called a modal heresy, if you want to go away and discuss this over Sunday lunch. The alternative mistake is thinking of God purely in terms of one, neglecting the fact that it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's called monachism. And that's another one you can mistake you can make. There's other mistakes you can make, other heresies, to use the formal term, functional heresy, where we think about the Trinity just in terms of what it does. And that's a mistake, because God isn't like some kind of machine. It's not a workflow program. There's not some kind of system. It's a tricky line to follow. And even the classic Anglican introduction to prayer, where we pray, in the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. If we develop that and think about that exclusively and take that to its logical extremities, that's a slippery slope too, to this sort of functional heresy. Now, all I've done so far is list problems, which is great. I'm enjoying doing this. I'm not really going to be able to present you with easy answers. Far greater minds than I have set themselves this task. Athanasius wrote a whole creed based around using exploration of the Trinity. It's fantastic. Go away and read it. It's long, so I'm not going to recite it all to you now, but you can find it in the Book of Common Prayer, if you're so minded, at the end of the sermon, over coffee. Why not grab a copy of the BCP and recite to each other the Athanasian Creed? But it's good. It is really good. It says, we worship one God in Trinity and the Trinity in union, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the divine being. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Spirit is still another. But the deity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory, co-eternal in majesty, and so on. It's beautiful, it's poetic. Augustine, there's another great mind. He wrote 15 books over the period of 10 years, trying to wrestle to explain the Trinity. I'm not even going to attempt to precede that for you. But there's 7 statements at the start which might be helpful. He says, the Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. The Son is not the Father. The Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Son. And then he adds one more at the end. There is only one God. Now, if at this stage your brain feels like it's starting to melt a little around the edges, relax, that's okay. Don't be afraid to come away not understanding the Trinity. This is, in reality, the one sermon of the year when it's entirely fine and actually legitimate to come away not understanding anything more necessarily. We're not bound by this Enlightenment idea that we can fit everything into neat little boxes. God doesn't fit into any box that you can create. In fact, actually, it's one of the best things about this so-called postmodern mindset of society. We can, and possibly we should a bit more, live with uncertainty and mystery. There's something beautiful about that, I think. Now, I'm not saying don't ask questions, don't pull at threads, do that. Oh yes, do that. Ask those difficult questions. Be awkward. Ask those tough things. But don't neglect the place of mystery. Not in a fluffy, don't need to think about it kind of way, but sometimes in a genuinely, this is too big for me kind of way. There's a mystery involved in the heart of God. So actually, the Trinity might be something that's not best explained, but something that's best experienced. Performance art. It's a way to understand a reality that is experienced rather than a simple set of formula or doctrine. The early Christians had a word they used to help them understand it. Perichoresis. It's a Greek word. Peri, around, and chorein, meaning sort of making space for. Chorein's the word where we kind of get choreography, dance from. So perichoresis. It's like a divine dance. And that's how they thought of the interaction between the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's like the Father saying to the Son, Son, I love the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit saying to the Son, Son, I love the Father. And the Holy Spirit saying to the Father, Father, I love the Son. It's this glorious interaction between the three in one. It's like a beautiful ballet of movement, of love, of community. And this is why it matters. It's not about getting our doctrine right and tidy. It's because this shows us something about our faith. Because this is what we're called into. We're called to be a community of love, of support, of encouragement, where we hold each other up when we're weak. We support each other when we're strong. We encourage each other when we're down. We operate together in a glorious choreography of love and community. That's what we're called to be as a church. The doctrine of the Trinity, you see, is not simply about head knowledge. It's about us living out who we are called to be as church here and now. And the good news is we've already started. I asked you at the start to bear with me, to be family as I struggled through this, and you all graciously agreed. That's what we're called to do. We're called to bear with each other. We gather together as a community of believers throughout the week on Sundays. All the different activities, that's us coming together. We're all different, but we unite and we affirm each other and we encourage each other. That's community. In a couple of weeks at the end of June, we're going to have what we're calling Home Group Sunday, where we're kind of promoting the idea of being part of communities, small groups, home groups within the church. That's part of what this is all about. There's any number of ways that we as a church can do that. But it is what we are called to. We're called to love one another. Wouldn't it be brilliant? Wouldn't it be brilliant if the world around us looked at the church and instead of seeing a group of people who judge, a group of people who argue, saw a group of people who loved one another? Isn't that what God calls us to? So the Trinity, it's not a clever theological trick to baffle people. It's not simply a way of trying to explain this three-in-one difficulty. It's absolutely fundamental to the Christian expression of faith. So my prayer for us this morning is that we may live it out. May we embrace the glorious mystery of the Holy Trinity. May we share in the wonderful, loving community that we see modeled in the Holy Trinity. And may we live out in our lives, here in Horsham and beyond, that beautiful, graceful movement of love for God and for his world that he created, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.